Well, welcome, dear ones, to our Youth and Adult Sabbath School on this wonderful Sabbath, the 1st of April, 2017. Welcome to those that are listening on the phone and those that are joining us by listening to the recording. And it's a pleasure to have you in fellowship with us today. Before we get into our study lesson, it's time for opening prayer. And I ask that you please bow your heads and your knees. Our dear precious Father in heaven, we thank you so very much for thy merciful kindness, for thy tender love, thy watchful care throughout this past week. Thank you for thy many and wonderful blessings, Father. And we meet here in the name of Jesus, and we pray that thy presence will be here in our midst. Please bring the atmosphere of joy and love and the light of truth and righteousness that surrounds you and your throne down to each one of us. And please fill our hearts with such. Please take control of this room and of each heart. And please rule within us according to thy perfect will. Dear Savior, we pray that thy presence will be here as well and dispel darkness in our hearts with your righteousness and truth, and thank you so much for abiding with us today. And dear Spirit, we also pray for thy presence to be here to lead and guide us into all truth, to comfort us, and to reprove us as well and correct us of all of our sins, of the righteousness and truth that is found in the scriptures and words of inspiration, as well as how short time is. Thank you so much, dear Godhead, for being here, and please continue to be with all of thy people around the world. Please also be with those that are in the valley of decision, having heard the truth and are now deciding whether to follow it or not. And please pour your Spirit upon them in rich abundance, that they may comprehend and understand the truth in crystal clarity and have the grace and the strength to follow it. Please also be with those who are sick and ill, whether mentally, spiritually, or physically. Please help them to look to thee for healing as their great physician, and please heal them and help them according to thy perfect will and timing. Thank you so much for hearing and answering this prayer and for being with us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So again, happy Sabbath, one and all. And we're continuing in our study book of Desire of Ages. This is chapter 43, Barriers Broken Down. And we're near the very top of page 402 to the paragraph that starts out, "This was the only miracle." And last time we were discussing where the woman had come to Christ for healing of her daughter. And even though she was not a Israelite, she was heathen, yet she recognized that Christ was her only hope of having her daughter brought back to health, to be relieved from the demons that possessed her and tortured her. Christ was her only source of help. And so even though there were tests that were given her, and even though Christ was making it as if he was not going to help her, yet she persevered in her request, in her petition of the Lord. And she would not give up. And Christ rewarded her faith by healing her daughter. From the very moment that Christ said, be it so unto thee even as thou wilt. Her daughter was instantly delivered, instantly healed. And now this woman acknowledged Christ as her Savior. In doing so, this is also a rebuke to the disciples that were caught up in the prejudice, in the exclusiveness, in the isolation of the Jews from all other nations. So in treating her the way that he did, as if he was ignoring her and wanting her to go away, and yet answering her prayer and request and healing her daughter, it taught the disciples that the Savior came to save everyone and turned no one away. And so they also needed to overcome that prejudice of isolationism. And they needed to also minister to whoever they came in contact with, regardless of what their color, what their nationality, what their race was. They were to seek to save them and to help them and minister to them just as their Savior did. So that's where we left off last time, and now we pick it up at this new paragraph. This was the only miracle that Jesus wrought while on this journey. It was for the performance of this act that he went to the borders of Tyre and Sidon. So the only reason that Christ traveled across the Sea of Galilee to this place was to perform this one miracle. So all of that time, all of that expense, all of that traveling was done just to help this one poor woman with the healing of her child. So Christ didn't go there to perform a whole lot of miracles to help a whole lot of people. Just this one. That means his love and care is so great that he's willing to go the extra mile in order to help relieve the troubled heart of that dear precious soul. And as Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we know that he will do the same for us. All we have to do is persevere in our prayers to him. And we know that he will indeed come close to us, even though our faith may be tested by time. He will come close to us and grant us our request according to his perfect will. Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. So it was for the performance of this one act that he went specifically to this place. He wished to relieve the afflicted woman and at the same time to leave an example in his work of mercy toward one of a despised people for the benefit of his disciples when he should no longer be with them. He wished to lead them from their Jewish exclusiveness to be interested in working for others besides their own people. So our labors are not to be just among ourselves. We're to expand our borders outwards, reaching out to those who do not know about the Savior, who do not know about the present truth, who may not understand about the Sabbath, about the law of God, about the state of the dead. We're to minister to others and not isolate ourselves among ourselves. We're to let our light shine so that everyone around can see the light. Continuing. Amen. Don't preach to the choir, so to speak. Preach to those who haven't heard it yet. Amen. Jesus longed to unfold the deep mysteries of the truth, which had been hid for ages, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs with the Jews and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Ephesians 3:6. This truth the disciples were slow to learn, and the divine teacher gave them lesson upon lesson. In rewarding the faith of the centurion at Capernaum and preaching the gospel to the inhabitants of Sychar, he had already given evidence that he did not share the intolerance of the Jews. But the Samaritans had some knowledge of God, and the centurion had shown kindness to Israel. Now Jesus brought the disciples in contact with a heathen, whom they regarded as having no reason above any of her people to expect favor from him. He would give an example of how such a one should be treated. The disciples had thought that he dispensed too freely the gifts of his grace. He would show that his love was not to be circumscribed to race or nation. So the love of God was shed upon the entire world by sending Jesus Christ down to be the Savior of the world. So then our ministering for others, our deeds of kindness, the truths that we share, the tracts that we pass out, the materials that we give, are not to be limited to just one particular type of people. It's to go to all. When the sower casts his seed in the field, he doesn't make sure they all fall in one particular furrow. He casts the grain as far and wide as his hand can throw it, and it lands everywhere. Some of it lands in rocks. Some of it lands in the pathways. Some of it lands among the thorns and the weeds. But then some of it also lands in the good soil. We need to do the same. We're to cast our bread, the life-giving truth, upon the waters. Waters represents peoples. And in spreading that truth to all, it will cross around the world as they do the same, and those who hear them preach will do the same until that truth comes back to us. Meaning it's accomplished the purpose for which it was given. Reaching out to precious souls. So Christ didn't limit his ministering just to the Jews. He went to inhabitants of other nations. He also went to those that were not of the Jewish faith. And he was hoping that his disciples would understand the lesson and would do the same. And they did. Peter went to Babylon to preach the gospel. Paul, of course, was raised up specifically to go to the Gentiles, but he also gave the message to the Jews. We need to do the same. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions before we continue? Please go right ahead. Continuing. When he said, I am not sent and put but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he stated the truth. And in his work for the Canaanite woman, he was fulfilling his commission. This woman was one of the lost sheep that Israel should have rescued. It was their appointed work, the work which they had neglected, that Christ was doing. So the lost sheep of Israel does not just refer to the nationality of Israel. It refers to everyone that should have been reached with the gospel that God had committed to Israel. So then we're to give the gospel to every nationality, kindred, tribe, and people around the world. And as soon as that message reaches every single soul and they make a decision for it or against it, then probation can close for the world. God's people have been made up by their choice to serve Christ, and he can then come. Continuing. This act opened the minds of the disciples more fully to the labor that lay before them among the Gentiles. They saw a wide field of usefulness outside of Judea. They saw souls bearing sorrows unknown to those more highly favored. Among those whom they had been taught to despise were souls longing for help from the mighty healer, hungering for the light of truth, which had been so abundantly given to the Jews. Afterward, when the Jews turned still more persistently from the disciples, because they declared Jesus to be the Savior of the world, and when the partition wall between Jew and Gentile was broken down by the death of Christ, this lesson, and similar ones which pointed to the gospel work unrestricted by custom or nationality, had a powerful influence upon the representatives of Christ in directing their labors. The Savior's visit to Phoenicia and the miracle there performed had a yet wider purpose. Not alone for the afflicted woman, nor even for his disciples and those who received their labors, was the work accomplished, but also that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John 20, verse 31. The same agencies that barred men away from Christ 1,800 years ago are at work today. The Spirit which built up the partition wall between Jew and Gentile is still active. Pride and prejudice have built strong walls of separation between different classes of men. Christ and his mission have been misrepresented, and multitudes feel that they are virtually shut away from the ministry of the gospel. But let them not feel that they are shut away from Christ. There are no barriers which man or Satan can erect, but that faith can penetrate. Faith, even though it's small, tiny, can move a gigantic mountain. Without faith, it's impossible to move that mountain, but through faith, even though it's small, God will honor, and that mountain will move, whether it's a literal mountain or a mountain of difficulty. God will move it in answer to your faith. So even those that are locked away in a communist country, in an atheistic nation, God will honor their faith and will indeed reach them, even though they're seemingly impossible to get to by the barriers of communism. In China, which is a communistic country, the home church movement there is greater than the home church movement here in America. The people there recognize that their government controls all of the established churches. And so in going to those churches, they're not going to hear the real gospel. They're going to hear a very watered down version, a mixture of truth and error. So the people have decided that they want the truth enough that they're not going to worship at the established government approved churches. They're going to worship in their homes so that they can get the pure, undiluted truth. And God has protected them, and He will continue to protect them in answer to their faith. Amen. Comment the room says, persecution helps purify the movement. Amen. And persecution also makes us earnest in our faith. We have something to lose, and thus we become more earnest and alive in our faith, in our hope, in our trust in Christ, and in following the truth. So there are no barriers which man or Satan can erect, but that faith can penetrate, and God answers the prayer of faith. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions before we continue? Continuing. In faith, the woman of Phoenicia flung herself against the barriers that had been piled up between Jew and Gentile, against discouragement, regardless of appearances that might have led her to doubt. She trusted the Savior's love. It is thus that Christ desires us to trust in Him. The blessings of salvation are for every soul. Nothing but His own choice can prevent any man from becoming a partaker of the promise in Christ by the gospel. So the woman of Phoenicia trusted in the love of the Savior for her. That's what kept her constant amidst discouraging circumstances around her. That's what kept her faith strong in Christ. His love for her, and thus His desire to help those that He loves. It's the same with us, dear ones. The binding glue between us and the Savior is love. Our love for Him and His love for us. So regardless of trial and tribulation, regardless of the discouraging things that happen in life, regardless of all the attempts of the enemy to lead us to doubt Christ, we know that He loves us. There's no doubt. when someone gives their life so you can live and not die, we know he loves us, and that love is great. It's not empty words. It's backed up by example. We can trust his love. He gave his life to prove it to us. So what keeps our faith strong is our love for what Christ has done for us based on his love for us. So against all discouragement, against all the barriers, against all of those things that led to the possibility of Christ ignoring her plea, her love kept her trusting in Christ for deliverance. And Christ came through. And he'll do the same for us. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that he lays down his life for his friends. It didn't say he lays down his life for his brother and sister, but for his friends. So even before we accepted Christ and was adopted into the family of God as his children and thus brothers and sisters to Christ, God viewed us as his friends. And he was willing to sacrifice his son, and Christ was willing to die for you before you even accepted God as your father. Because he viewed you as his friends. That is love that you can trust. That's love that's constant, never failing. That's love you can rest in, casting all your cares and burdens upon him because he loves you. So Christ desires us to trust in him. And just as he answered the prayer of the Phoenician woman who trusted in him, so he'll do the same for you. Continuing, nothing but his own choice can prevent any man from becoming a partaker of the promise in Christ by the gospel. Caste is hateful to God. Caste is where different individuals in society are grouped or labeled in particular levels of importance. You can see it quite a bit over in the nation of India, where they have a different caste for workers, they have a different caste for poor, a different caste for the upper class, etc. So this grouping of different levels of society is hateful to God. He ignores everything of this character. In his sight, the souls of all men are of equal value. So God views all of humanity as equal with one another. And when we accept Christ as our Savior, there's no longer a differentiation between male or female, free men or slaves, Jew or Gentile. There's no longer a differentiation in color or race. We're all of equal value in Christ. continuing, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bonds or bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. So because of God's love for us, desiring each one of humanity to be saved and not lost, he views all of us as of equal value. Those who are ignorant, he views as of value the same as those that are intelligent. Those that are poor, he views the same as those that are rich. And as he desires all to be saved and not lost, he's not a God that's far away from us, but a God that's close at hand. When you reach out after God, he's there in response. When you have a desire and begin to return to him, he doesn't wait until you reach all the way to his throne and kneel before him, but he gets off the throne while you're still a great way off and runs to meet you so that you can be united together so much quicker. He's a God close at hand. And he will answer your faith. Continuing. Without distinction of age or rank or nationality or religious privilege, all are invited to come unto him and live. Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free. The rich and poor meet together, the Lord is the maker of them all. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And all those verses were taken from Acts 17:26 to 7, Galatians 3:28, Proverbs 22:2, and Romans 10:11 through 13. So no matter how small your faith may be, God recognizes it and will answer it by divine power, working a miracle in your behalf, all because of his love for you, even before you loved him back. What a marvelous God we have the privilege to serve and love, dear ones. And praise him for his long suffering to each one of us. And now he's inviting us to come back home. Well, dear ones, are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions? We're at the end of chapter 43, and before we go to chapter 44, is there anything that you'd like to share about this chapter? Please feel free.
I'd like to say something about love. You know, if it weren't for God, there would be no love. That's his whole kingdom, is love. So when you feel kindly feelings and this love in your heart, that's God's domain. That's what he gave you. What a blessing.
Amen indeed. And God is love, 1 John 4:8. So that's very true. Without God, we would not know what true love is. Amen indeed. So that was chapter 43. And now we go to chapter 44, The True Sign. And it starts on page 404. Again he went out from the borders of Tyre, and came through Sidon unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the borders of Decapolis, which is Mark 7:31. It was in the region of Decapolis that the demoniacs of Gergesa had been healed. Here the people, alarmed at the destruction of the swine, had constrained Jesus to depart from among them. But they had listened to the messengers he left behind. Remember, the demoniacs, after they had been healed, wanted to accompany Christ so that they could learn more of the truth that he was sharing. They only knew a little bit. They wanted to know more. But Christ said, no, I want you to stay here and share what good things God has done for your souls, which they did. So when Christ traveled away, these men went to work in sharing God's love for them and the deliverance that he had wrought for them. And so when Christ had come back through the area, there was a great desire for these people of Decapolis and the Gergesites to hear him and to see him. So even though the demoniacs knew just a little bit of truth, they shared this little bit of truth, and now people wanted to come and see and hear Christ for themselves. So just share the little bit of truth that you have now with others, and that will spark an interest in them to want to go to Christ themselves for more. Continuing. As he came again into that region, a crowd gathered about him, and a deaf, stammering man was brought to him. Jesus did not, according to his custom, restore the man by a word only. Taking him apart from the multitude, he put his fingers in his ears and touched his tongue. Looking up to heaven, he sighed at thought of the ears that would not be open to the truth, the tongues that refused to acknowledge the Redeemer. At a word, be opened, the man's speech was restored, and disregarding the command to tell no man, he published abroad the story of his cure. He was so happy at being healed that he couldn't keep his gratefulness silent. He had to tell everyone about it. Continuing. Jesus went up into a mountain, and there the multitude flocked to him, bringing their sick and lame and laying them at his feet. He healed them all. And the people, heathen as they were, glorified the God of Israel. For 3 days they continued to throng about the Savior, sleeping at night in the open air, and through the day pressing eagerly to hear the words of Christ and to see his works. At the end of 3 days their food was spent. Jesus would not send them away hungry, and he called upon his disciples to give them food. Now this had already happened before with the 5,000. Would the disciples remember? Continuing. Again the disciples revealed their unbelief. At Bethsaida, they had seen how, with Christ's blessings, their little store availed for the feeding of the multitude. Yet they did not now bring forward their all, trusting his power to multiply it for the hungry crowds. Moreover, those whom he fed at Bethsaida were Jews. These were Gentiles and heathen. Jewish prejudice was still strong in the hearts of the disciples, and they answered Jesus, "Whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" But obedient to his word, they brought him what they had, 7 loaves and 2 fishes. The multitude were fed, 7 large baskets of fragments remaining. 4,000 men besides women and children were thus refreshed, and Jesus sent them away with glad and grateful hearts. So 4,000 men besides women and children, so that was upwards of 8,000 to 10,000 people, were all fed, and there was even food remaining left over. All things are possible to those who put their faith in Christ. Miracles are still being performed today by people coming to Christ. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was the miracle-working God back during the time of the Jews. He's still the miracle-working God today. When you come to God with your whole heart confessing your sins, He forgives you all of this unrighteousness. That is a miracle. He gives you a new spirit within your heart. New motives for being good, for doing good, loving God supremely above all else. That is a miracle. So we still serve a miracle-working Savior today, just as He was to the disciples and all of the Christians in His day. And it's all accomplished through faith and love. Do you have enough love for Christ to trust Him in faith? Do you have enough faith in Christ to rest in His love for you? No matter how small or large it is, God will honor what you have, and miracles will still be accomplished today. Conversion of your heart unto salvation. So may God indeed help us to love Him supremely above all else, and to love one another as ourselves.
Bow your heads, please. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for these words, which are permanent, that shall never go away because you spoke them. Thank you for loving us, and for dying for us, and for wanting to see us be the best that we can be with your help. Forgive us when we haven't believed. Forgive us when we've walked away. We've turned our backs. We haven't listened. We've been too busy. Forgive us for all those things. And dear Jesus, be with us for the rest of this day. Bless our little group, be in each one of our hearts, and carry us through the next of the week. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. And a thank you, dear sister. Well, let us take a few minute break and then let us return by 10 after 11 on Pacific Coast or 10 after 2 on the East Coast for our main church service. So we'll see you then, dear ones.